As the silent seconds dance in their eternity about me and set aflame again the fire to inspire my nimble fingers to procure the pen and awaken it in a resurrection, transforming the ink to the blood of the writer. As once again he bleeds his acquired wisdom like a light into the world.
Good morning, Carbro and the Big Chill. This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else. This is Claudio speaking, and I'm in the studio with my co-host, John Paul, who always likes to say hello. I don't keep him waiting.
Hello.
He's not quite himself today. We also have the unique pleasure of having my friend and also one of our underwriters, John Demers of Studio in the Woods, Inc., here in the studio today, talking about the new movie he's just produced called Will to Power.
Do you want to say hi? Is this where I say hello?
This is where you say something.
Hello, Claudio.
And we have the lady that wrote the soundtrack to the film, Cissy Harrington,
hello,
sitting right beside him. Got a really unique voice. We've got a treat for you later on. We're going to play her music, and you get to hear the vocals. And, of course, we also have Paul Nash in the studio, who has the Touchstones that comes on right after. I figured we'd have him in here for some kind of input.
Yeah, it's good to get and exercise my vocal cords before I come on to my own show. I like that.
Yeah, so that's what this is, the teething.
We're just a warm-up for Paul. That's all we are.
That's all we are.
We'll get him hot today.
We're the opening act.
It's funny, with this political season, Will to Power probably makes the average Joe out there think that this is going to be some political conspiracy theory going into movie format.
But no.
It has that flavor in the title.
It doesn't have the politics of it, but boy, I tell you what, it has the conspiracies in it. It is got more screw turns than an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Uh-huh.
It is a psychological thriller, and I mean, it will keep you wee-weeing in your seats through the whole movie.
We hope
so,
not.
So,
not
really don't sure forget to wear means. Your Depends.
Yes.
So, one, two. Good. Just had to adjust my mic as usual. Sorry, folks, we're flying blind here. Here we go. Back to you, John Demers.
No, not a problem. This is a good movie. This is a good movie in the sense that if you want to find out about intrigue, two-timing, treachery, backstabbing, then you need to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is just too much fun. Real life.
Well, it actually just sounds like... Now, it was published filmed, right? It was filmed in North Carolina. Where in North Carolina?
Actually, it was filmed in North Carolina and California. We filmed in New Hill, Apex, Cary, Raleigh, Zebulon, Durham. So we filmed all over the Triangle area.
So it's definitely a qualifiable North Carolina production.
Oh, it is, yeah. 80% of the project was shot here. The other 20% was shot in Los Angeles on location there.
Ah, okay.
And those locations in California played North Carolina. And I don't know if you all know, but I took the crew from here to California.
Uh-huh.
I'm a little tired of the California crews coming here. So I thought it would be really cool if we took our people there.
It's usually California, New York, or Washington, D.C., right? That's usually where they draw them from around here for some reason.
They like to do that.
The talent pool. Yeah. We have local talent, folks.
Oh, we do.
We
do.
Tune into them. Mm-hmm.
On camera and off camera. We've got the crew bases and the talent here to do it all.
So, Cissy, where do you hail from? Give us a little background on you.
I am originally from Burlington, North Carolina.
No one would have ever guessed that.
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
She introduced herself originally as Nashville, and I figured that's where she was from. And I heard Burlington. I went, you're not wearing a coat?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I get that a lot.
I'm sure you do.
Oh, Burlington Coat Factory.
Here it is one more time.
Awesome.
Tell us about, what is Burlington? I think very few people have an image of Burlington outside of the Coat Factory scenario.
I think right now it's almost Greensboro.
Uh-huh. Wow!
If you're not from North Carolina, that probably is not.
Are we talking northern spillover, or what do you mean by that?
No, it really is just it's blown up. Every time I come home, there's so much more development, which I think is great. But there's so much shopping and everything. It's a great town. It's definitely a town. It's not a city for sure. Mm-hmm. really nice people. It's North Carolina.
Still qualifies as country. And when? Definitely. How long ago did you leave there to go to Nashville?
I went to NC State for school and then graduated and stayed in Raleigh for like 6 months and then headed to Nashville. It'll be 2 years in January. I'll be there. So I'm not sure if the accent is North Carolina or Nashville.
It's probably a mix going from the vocal influences to moving around. I know, having lived all over the world with me, I have no idea where you would typify my accent from, except its strongest influences.
It's yours.
Yeah, that's it. I think Paul has something to say.
Well, as you know, there's many types of two types of people in the world, but there are those types of people who, when they move someplace, they immediately adapt to the local vocal terrain. And then there are other kinds of people who, no matter where they are always going to sound like where they're from, and they're never going to sound. You still got a little of that North Carolina, and yeah, I can tell it. That's one of the reasons why I stayed here, is I just like the way the women talk.
Well, then I'll have to make
That's
sure
what
I
say
keep it
north
there.
About the Southern girls.
Was it grits? Girls raised in the South?
Something
that
like
what
that.
Grits
yeah.
Are?
I think they're catching on to grits. They got a few diners in the city.
They are. You know, another nice thing about this project, and there are some good things. There are also some tragedies with it too. But
yeah, it sounds like it from what you said earlier.
Well, I'll touch on some of the tragedies with this project. For instance, we had when this project started, David Rowntree, who wrote the screenplay. He leads the acting in it, a lead actor. He's also the director of the film. He's one of the film's co-executive producers and co-producers as well. But David's father passed away. Now we come forward to April of this year, and while we're finishing the edit and he's here, his mother died unexpectedly.
Oh, my God.
While I had the project down in Hilton Head, South Carolina, with Ken Lewis at Post One Audio, Ken was working on the audio for the film in January and died at the age of 37 from a staph infection unexpectedly, which again was another delay on the project. Every time something like this happens, there's a delay of a month or two when you try to regroup, rebuild, raise money. So it has had its share. On the flip side of that coin, we've had some great things happen too.
Good. Let's hear those. My goodness.
One of them, I took over the project to see it get finished. Yes. That was a good thing, so that that the actors can actually see the work get done, and so can the crew. The second good thing was that even though we lost Ken, we found Craig Brandwin, Center Sound Records. He stepped in, came up to the plate. This is about baseball, so I use those analogies.
Mm-hmm, I understand.
And took the swing at bat and has basically hit a grand slam for me, because he's delivered not only stellar audio, great music, but then also great performing artists on the soundtrack, like Sissy Harrington, who we have in the studio. We've also got some other great people in there. We've got Jacob Freely Band, O Period, Alan Maldonado, Philip Rea. So we've got some really fine performances. The CD will come out. It's a soundtrack. It will be available, Will to Power, the music. And it's going to be put out by Center Sound Records and Craig Brandwin. And, of course,
and we also have the screening this Friday.
We have the screening coming up this Friday and Thursday night at Deep South in Raleigh. The doors open at 7 p.m., and at 8 o'clock, Sissy Harrington is going to perform some of the songs from this. So people will come on down to Deep South in Raleigh.
Where is that? What's the location of that?
Downtown Raleigh.
Downtown Raleigh. Okay.
I think it's on Dawson Street.
I think she's right.
Go down and say you're looking for Deep Dawson South. They'll say you're in it.
She might be wrong, but I'll follow Sissy anywhere, because I will.
Say that again. I rudely interrupted you there. Go ahead.
No, I think it's Dawson Street.
Oh, okay.
It's downtown, like you said, but it's like 304.
Since we're on the soundtrack mode, why don't we give the audience a bit of a treat?
Can we listen to her song,
Harrington?
I'll Stay?
Well, of course we can.
Is that the first one?
Because if he plays can. I'll Stay, I'll stay.
Okay, then. We're here.
All right, here we go.
Leave room to escape the crowd. Sounds. Heart on my sleeve, it's not mine to decide. But my soul can keep and what will die. But some talk for you, and some talk to you, and some have words that you know. All gather to play. Dare to stay,
some call it blessed. I sit not one untouched, just some more impressed. Some talk for you, some talk to you, and somehow words that you know.
And that was I'll Stay by Cissy Harrington. You got a great sound there, kid.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to seeing the film just for that.
She is a secret weapon.
And by the way, the address of where Sissy's going to be performing on Friday night at 8 p.m. will be 430 South Dawson Street, and that is Deep South, right? Is that what it's called?
Deep South Bar.
Whose tune is that?
That's Sissy.
That's hers.
Okay. She wrote that.
I really like that.
Yeah, I like that sound.
Thank you very much.
Well, I got all those. So what I wanted to know is what came first, the chicken or the egg? Now, did you write the song for the movie, or was the song pre-existent to the movie and it just seemed to fit in right?
You know what? It's really funny because there's two songs that are in the film, and they both were actually two of my first completed songs. And it's really weird. The other one, Dreamers Play, like, it's kind of ridiculous how much it pertains to the film, but. I wrote the song first. I actually wrote the song for my brother, who was leaving town, and it was like I wanted to be there for him for as long as I could before he left town. So
it's interesting the way things like that dovetail into each other. Huh?
Isn't that funny?
Yeah,
they do. And when Craig, it's interesting because Craig was sitting with David Roundtree when they were working on some final edit elements, and all of a sudden Craig was watching a sequence of the film, and what Craig said was, hey, I think I got a song that would work here. And so then he played Sissy's song for David, and David went, oh yeah, you know. And then of course Craig came to me because I'm got the money and wanted to make sure I'd have the same assessment.
Right.
And I fell in love. I mean, I really did. I heard the music and I went, this is what I've been looking for this film. This is the kind of stuff I was talking to Ken Lewis about. Is I know we have the rock and rap in it and we've got all that stuff that we need that works, but I wanted something that distinguished this film. And we had Jacob Freely in there, and they did a wonderful job. We shot a concert with them on location as well. But one of the things I wanted was a standalone, something that we could really wrap the movie around.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when I heard the song, I was like, oh, yeah, this is great. Then, of course, I'll take it a step further. When she flew in and went into the studio to record it, Simon Baron, one of the other producers on this project.
Yeah, we've had Simon on board.
Right, we have. Mm-hmm. We were in the studio watching her, and I remember looking at Craig and going, I want to do a music video. I said, I want to shoot this in a music video. This is just too good not to take some time and shoot it and find a way to use it. And so we did. If people go to the website, willtopowerthemovie.com, you can see the trailer. It'll actually start playing. And you'll see at the end how we've taken a scene of the movie on the baseball diamond where there's a dinner table set up for a romantic dinner on a baseball field with just two people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was shot 3 years ago in July 2005 when we wrapped. I didn't know at the time, but I specifically told the art department, I want the tablecloth, the glassware, the plates, the forks and knives, the two Rockstar energy drinks, And the bottle of wine, I want it all wrapped into a box and stored. I want to keep it because I have this idea sometime I'm going to need it. So,
and sure enough, huh?
I came back. We dressed the set, went up to the chicken place to get chicken, came back, set it
totally
up just
recreated.
Like it. We were looking at pictures and everything. We completely recreated the scene, shot it, and then when you watch that video and at the end see the credits, you'll see what we were
which
able
is a
to
great way to end
that.
A film, just to keep people's attentions on the names
it's,
because they so easily turn
there.
Away.
Yeah. They do. And so we've made sure that our closing cards, which are the single cards that highlight special things people do in the movie, and then the crawl credits, which are also important, we've made sure we've interspersed elements of the film in there so people are going to have to stay till the very end when it says, okay, it's over.
That's it.
So that's I wanted a different ending, and that was finally the way to do it. He's like, okay, it's over. But it's a great piece. I encourage people to go there, willtopowerthemovie.com.
So you did your cinema paradiso end, huh, where you don't know that what's going to actually happen until you see the last frame of the film after the credits?
In a sense, yes. I mean, the actual storyline will end a bit sooner, but the truth is, the way this movie ends, I've had some test audiences, and the jaws just kind of hang because it's like they get a twist, and then they get a twist, and then they get one they never saw coming.
Uh-huh. So they need some relief in
yeah,
this sense.
And so then there's this...
And Sissy's there for the relief.
Yeah, there's this pause of black for a few moments, and then we actually do the in memoriam for Ken Lewis and for David's parents, and then you see a shot of the location that we used, and then we start going to the cards and then to the people crying for the lost people in the movie. It's just a really nice way to end the movie.
So give us a scoop on Friday where people can go. I know you said that the screening is ticketed.
It is a ticketed event, but Friday, October 17th at the School of Communication Arts Digital Circus. And I got to say this, the school has been an integral part of seeing this project get completed. But it will be there. It's at 7 o'clock p.m. on Friday, and it is a ticketed event. Tickets are $10. And we don't have many left.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
We're doing real. This is an opportunity for cast and crew, and for those crew members out there that I've not found, and I know a few of you live in the Carrboro area.
And are listening
and you're
right
listening.
Now.
Right, Sissy, you're listening right now. You guys need to give me a call or email me at studiointhewoodsinc@gmail.com because I'll give you your free pass.
Anyone in independent film should stick their head into this one, since you're actually going to elaborate on the production before the screening, and I'm assuming there'll be some interaction or connection afterwards.
Oh, there sure will be, and I know there's going to be some discussion at the film, because Claudio is going to host it for us. That's right, Claudio here.
Really? No idea what I'm saying yet, though, yeah.
He's going to come, and he's going to host it so that I actually get to sit and enjoy the film. And we're also going to have Sissy perform that night at the theater. Not only Thursday at
Wonderful.
Deep South, but Friday she's going to do a song as well for everybody.
On stage.
On stage.
Wonderful. Good. I'm glad I won't be the only one there.
Friday night will be a good night.
On stage, that is.
And that's the night of the first official screening of the movie. And we're going to do the same thing in Los Angeles for the talent that's out there.
Uh-huh. Wonderful. Great news. So give them all the email info, the website info one more time.
Again, it's willtopowerthemovie.com. You can email me, John Demers, at studiointhewoodsinc@gmail.com. You can also check out Sissy Harrington at MySpace. You just put MySpace in and type Sissy Harrington, and you can go find her. You can find the Will to Power site there. We're on Facebook as well, Will to Power. That's
good.
Where a mutual friend of mine kind of hooked up on this, David Wood.
Yeah. He pulled me onto that again. I've lost my code. I can't get back on.
Dog. We'll get you back into that Facebook thing. So those are the contacts. That's how you can get in touch with us. And, this is just sort of that wrap-up week to get everything ready, because not only do we hear the music, see the film, then I take off the end of October for the American Film Market in Los Angeles to go and sell it.
Wonderful. Well, from some of the footage that I saw this morning when you showed me the previews, it looks like an attention-getter.
Oh, it's an intention-getter.
An intention-getter as well?
Yeah. Both.
The intent is Will to Power. That was the movie. That is the movie. Will to Power, coming hopefully very soon to a theater near you, but the screening will be this Friday, 7 p.m. at the, what is the name of that?
School of Communication Arts Digital Circus, 3000 Wakefield Crossing Drive, Raleigh, North Carolina.
And on that note, let's go listen to some more Sissy.
Yeah.
Sissy Harrington again. What's the name of this one you introduce?
Oh, this is Dreamer's Play. This
Dreamer's
is the one
Play.
that the music video is too.
This is the one that comes on with the credits at the end of the film.
Correct.
Thank you. green and blue. I'm yours. It's so loud in this empty room. Your freedom, silent voice. And I'm
What do you think of that?
I think it's beautiful. I was just telling her that I love the atmosphere of her voice. I like the way it just sort of takes over the room when she does her vocals.
She owns the room.
I don't think her mic's on. Give her.
You're right. Oh. The, I thought it was...
We phased you out. All we want to hear is just singing.
Shut your mouth. Just
I
sing.
I just missed the button.
Too bad this is radio because she's real pretty to look at, too.
I know. She's a babe. Very pleasing on the eyes.
Well, I thought the writing is excellent.
So
really,
do I.
The music, the musical aspect of it is really, really nice.
Very given to the art of the lyric and the song. I think it's beautiful.
Thank you very much.
And on that note, I was talking to Sissy about possibly sharing the stage at some point in the future. I wanted her to hear Mud in Your Eye, the piece I did with Jim Beckwith, written about Hurricane Katrina. I think John Paul is fishing that out.
So this is this music or is this like
You're
a spoken
about
word with...
It's a spoken word to music, okay, to full right. orchestration.
What cut is it?
It's the first one.
All right. Well,
this is Mud in Your Eye.
Good piece.
Should be able to roll right here then.
As the
Okay, so
welcome to live radio.
Somehow or another, we got the.
Oh no!
Live radio.
We got the wrong CD.
Let's see.
Is this where you should start saying the words that George Carlin said we're not supposed to say?
Well, I tell you what. Slip the other one out, and let
this
me pick one.
This is actually
on
a copy of one of our shows.
Oh no!
Claudio gave me a copy.
We were just giving you the opening.
I just imagined it was beautiful.
Oh well, sorry.
Well, I'll tell
that.
You what, co-host. I'm going to let you kick in while I go get the actual one out of the car.
Yay.
Yeah, so you actually did have mud in his eye.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's right. Mud on his face, anyway.
Well, okay, so let's start. I mean, obviously, as soon as I see The Will of Power, as soon as I see that title, I immediately think of Nietzsche with that big old walrus mustache of his, and I think, you know.
We quote him in the movie. It's that's the sort of a... that's part of an impetus that drives the story.
Mm-hmm.
Is that author
driving for superhuman perfection by standing on the necks of those less fortunate?
Well, yeah. I mean, you will find some scenes in this movie with some of our characters. An actor from Los Angeles, Chris Moyer, plays the part of Jason Miller, and he's a brilliant kid as the character. His character is genius, real smart, brainy. It's the opposite character to David Roundtree's character. David, again, the writer, director, and lead actor. David's character, Eric Felstead. The two of them are best friends, yet Eric's the sport guy, the jock. He gets all the girls. He gets everything. His buddy, Jason, gets some of that because he stays close to his jock friend. And so that's why they're buddies and pals, and this story centers around them. This psychological thriller focuses on these two young men in a classroom, and the class assignment from the teacher, played by another great actor, Ken Woodard, the role of Mr. Connor, he gives a class assignment, and the class assignment is to write a paper on how to commit the perfect murder. And the victim must be someone in the classroom. And, you know, we're not going to give it away. But it's interesting that that assignment has been given to other classes before in this country by professors. And so we've taken something that has been done before and done it here. And it's interesting because, you know, that's really where this story starts to kick in, is the planning of this. Because what really happens is these two guys turn it not into a paper, but into a real murder. And that's really what motivates this story and drives it.
Yeah, it does seem that here in the South, we take our literalism too literally.
Shifting gears.
Shifting gears again. That wasn't mud in your eye. That was egg in my face.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Actually, this...
Chef Claudio, eating crow. But it would taste good with Tropical Moon.
1, 2, testing. There we go. This is the guy with egg in your eye.
Don't be alarmed. That's just Claudio testing his mic.
Sorry, folks. Anyway, this is I'm playing this purely for Sissy's benefit. So anyone out there that's heard this before, please indulge me in this. I just want Sissy to get an idea. Okay. So here we have Mud in Your Eye.
Mud in Your Eye. I've been keeping abreast of the storm's raging quest from a bar in the French Quarter of town. While the gales from the west were all doing their best to hail the apocalyptic Katrina aground. Now there's mud in the eye of the sailor tonight, where broken levees have leveled the shore. And with the warnings all out and the natives in flight, the Big Easy ain't easy no more. When the waters rose as high as an elephant's eye, and knives of wind ceased their cutting about, an eerie silence would sigh as the night gave a cry to the voodoo of time running out. All the souls in despair who felt abandoned by care, and whom misfortune did not allow to depart, questioned country and state in this quagmire of fate, and found it best a debatable heart. A generosity grew from much more than a few who accomplished what politicians could not. But before this was true, an unrest would ensue among the ravaged whom time had forgot. A dead body neglect from the governing sect is the talk of all our daily news. With rivers as streets and all disquieting feats, New Orleans is neck deep in her blues. It's a primitive take when your town is a lake, not to mention the neighboring states. There are strange things afloat in a hat and a coat, all abandoned to partisan traits. At Johnny White's on Bourbon Street, we drank warm beer and spooned canned meat. while Lake Pontchartrain cut a brand new loop and turned a cultural gumbo into toxic soup. It was helter-skelter in a stadium for shelter, where Americans were called refugees. They arrived in great number from a wind that drew thunder and took comfort where there was no aim to please. With a sailboat for a penthouse that drowned out the church mouse, the hurricane blew in some very sad ends. We paid for our choices with ever-weakening voices, resting far too easy on political trends. A government of the rich is a cancerous itch, and reminder that we have all sinned. Like Bob Dylan would say with his nomadic sway, the answer is blowing in the wind. A president touting religion as a special interest stool pigeon may be facing a rising of tides. Ceasing arrogance not, he may soon face his lot, in whom true power and justice resides. Chaos and creation, known as civilization, are subject to a shifting imbalance ashore. A maligned collective neglect always leads to regret. And the Big Easy ain't easy.
Thank you. I just wanted you to get some idea of the sort of stuff I do. It's hard for me to explain spoken word to people.
Right. I feel like I need to listen to that like four more times. I'm like,
well, you can take that with you.
Ooh, that's good.
Good.
Yeah. Yay, I love the part about creation.
Chaos and creation?
Yeah, chaos and creation, what we call civilization or something like that.
Chaos and creation known as civilization.
Right.
Are subject to a shifting imbalance ashore as we speak.
Awesome.
It sort of applies to nature and the political movement.
Right.
It's a mess out there. But anyway, sorry to have interrupted this particular program, Will to Power, with that. I just wanted to make sure that I got Sissy to hear something on a headset.
Not a problem.
Well, you do definitely have a sense of the musicality of language, you know.
True.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
True.
And
true.
On this note, I want to go ahead and acknowledge one of our underwriters, the Carolina Theatre of Durham. Want to really extend our appreciation. I think they've got Paul Satriani coming on this Saturday. I'm stage managing over there.
Yeah.
And I love that guy's guitar playing. It's incredible. So that's happening, I think, this Saturday at 8 p.m. And there's all kinds of other independent film. We've got some scratchy stuff going on in the headset here. Or is it the mic? Is it me? Is it just me?
Don't handle the mic.
Okay, there we go. I'm told not to handle the mic. What am I supposed to do?
Well,
anyway, thank you, Carolina Theatre of Durham, the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham. Also, Studio in the Woods, Inc., who is an underwriter, and anyone else out there tuning in. This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else on WCOM 103.5 FM. John Paul, do you want to add
To reiterate, this is WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your community radio station.
That needs your support.
Yes. We need some money, people.
And we need a new place.
Money.
Support community.
We need a new treehouse to operate out of. So if anybody has any ideas there.
That's a good idea.
That's right. We are
a treehouse studio. What a great idea.
They're selling this place, and we are eventually going to have to find another place to house the studio.
We'll take a rooftop and a megaphone. How's that?
Yeah, we just need about 400 square feet, something in that range.
Well,
this is actually not probably quite even 400 square feet. So that would be an upgrade if we got 400 square feet.
How would they contact you if someone knew of something?
Go to the website communityradio.coop and you'll find contact information there.
Got it.
So any help would be much appreciated in that regard. I know we're looking at a bit of a time countdown. I don't know exactly when the property is going to be sold, but I know that Weaver Street Market here in Carrboro has also opened up one in Hillsborough, and I think there's an economic situation going on where they're considering selling this piece of real estate. At least that's what I've heard.
What? There's an economic situation going on?
Well, isn't there? Yes.
Oh, my.
Crazy.
What would that be? What would that be?
That's another session.
The fraud of the century.
Of course, that might be a situation that lingers a while longer.
Economic fraud of the century.
Oh.
Does. Want to touch on some of the other actors that are in this movie.
Absolutely.
That I think I need to be mentioned because they are of note. you know, David Roundtree, when he brought this project here, of course, he brought some North Carolina actors. I mean, he brought some California actors, and he used some great talent out of North Carolina. From California, we've got Jerry Mathers from Leave It to Beaver fame.
Yes. What has he been in recently?
I know Larry the Cable Guy's movie he was in that. He's done a couple of other things now. He's done some television shows. After he did our movie, he went to Broadway finally. You know, he had to do our movie first before Broadway would take him, and he took the lead role in Hairspray. He played the father in Hairspray.
Is he in the film or in the Broadway version?
In the Broadway version.
Okay.
So he took over that role and did it successfully. I mean, he got good reviews, which really helped him, because that's one of the things that that folks look for, is when you do stage, that's sort of the coming age of television and film actors. If you've always done television and film, mm-hmm. you make the breakout. Did they do it? Did they not do it? And in this case, he did really, really well, and so got great reviews.
How did you find him, if you don't mind me asking?
That was a David Roundtree bring. That's okay. A person that David Roundtree brought, just like Keiko Ellsworth, who's currently on Heroes and did Bad Boys 2 and is in the film getting ready to come out called Staunton Hill, which then has some more facts in it. Staunton Hill has Emmy-nominated Kathy Lampkin, who was recently in the Academy Award-winning No Country for Old Men.
Ah, yes.
She's in that. She was also in our movie. And then, as a matter of fact, Kathy replaced Linda Blair when we let her go.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, the twisting head.
I was wondering about
just
that.
You would just too much to for me. Yeah.
Would have been the pea soup that turned me off.
Yep. So instead, we got Kathy Lampkin, and then Kathy went on to get Emmy nominated. She is the fat actor on the West Coast. And she doesn't mind playing it. I mean, if the role says fat actress, she gets it. Matter of fact, she was nominated for.
So we're not talking PHAT.
Oh, no, we're talking F-A-T.
I gotcha.
And Kathy, I love you. You know it, but you know that's how you're marketed. I know your agent. But, yes, she got the part in Nip Tuck, where she played the fat lady that was growing into the couch.
Ouch.
And ends up with a great role where the ambulance loads her on the back of a pickup truck to take her to the hospital. Yeah. But she got her Emmy nomination for that.
That's awesome.
And then she's just gone on to where the Coen brothers have written roles for her. She's the tea lady in both Texas Chainsaw films. She's just got a body of work that hasn't quit. We've also...
pardon the pun.
Yeah, yes. A body of work that doesn't quit. Yeah. That's very good!
Well.
We also have Jonathan Breck, who created the role of Creeper in Jeepers Creepers 1 and 2. And
which was actually quite enjoyable. I mean, enjoyable. But nonetheless, I thought they were interesting to watch.
And is rolling out right now.
I'm not normally given to that genre.
And he's rolling out in the movie W right now, which is... is it out now, or is it getting ready to come
out? It's coming out on Friday.
Almost out. Yeah.
So he has a nice role in that. So there really are some solid actors that brings some real weight to this. And then, of course, I can't forget the North Carolina actors either. We've got some folks in there that have done a fine job. We've got Hillary Russo, who has a great role in this movie. She's one of the students in it. She's also a host on Cablevision's, Time Warner Cable's, they call it Second Cinema. Second Cinema. She hosts that show. She has a nice role in this, too. So we have some great North Carolina talent. And, of course, the crew base was primarily out of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did a fantastic job. So it's got good people behind the camera and great people in front of the camera.
And, of course, I understand you also take a character acting part in the film, don't you?
I took a small character role in it. I play the role of Mr. Enstrom. And Mr. Enstrom is the bus driver for the sports team. He's also the other radio guy to Mr. Simpson's role, the Jerry Mathers role, when he's doing the radio play-by-play at their ball games. So that's the small part that I have. I'm a teacher there, and then my duty is to help with the radio at the ball game and then drive the sports bus.
I really liked your Chinaman in the read-through of Go Fish.
No,
so I'm sure this is a totally different characterization.
I was doing the Chinese thing, wasn't I?
Well, you sold me.
There you go. We had fun doing that. So anyway, that's what we got going on in front of and behind the camera. Again, all I can say is that if you get a chance to go to willtopowerthemovie.com and check out that trailer, let us know if you'd like to have a copy of the film, because we will be selling the film on the website starting in November,
as well as on Friday night at the screening.
Well, we're going to have a CD available Friday night. We're going to have a limited edition, and I do mean limited edition CD of four of the songs from the movie. We're going to have Sissies 2, the one we just heard, Dreamers Play a moment ago, and then the one before that, I'll Stay, will be on there, and then we've got two songs from Jacob Freely that we're throwing on there as well. And so those will be available. It's going to be like $10. And like I said, there'll be probably 75 or 100 of those. They'll go. No more of those will be done. Sissy will be there to sign them. She'll have some
collector's item.
Yeah, this one's a collector's item. The and ticket that night's a collector's item, too, by the way. Oh, we will not be tearing those. You get to keep those.
Also, tell me about the baseball. Tell the public about the baseball you showed.
Oh, yeah. Easton Sports, of course, was in part of our integrated product placement, and we got a number of baseballs through them. And it was interesting. We didn't know what to do with all the leftover baseballs, and so I got the idea that, well, why don't we just get all the talent to sign their balls? And so we went ahead and got Jerry Mathers, everybody involved in the production, including me, and then Sissy Harrington. I pulled the balls out again recently, and Sissy got a chance to sign the balls.
That's a lot of people to sign one baseball, I will just say.
It is.
My name's on there, I promise.
You just it really is. They're everywhere. But we've held on to those. We may auction one off on eBay. There's been some discussion about auctioning a ball off on eBay, and then to the first distributor, too, letting them have a ball as a memento, and then if there's a negative pickup with the film, just let them have the balls.
I'm thinking 100 years in the future, and somebody's going to get one of these autograph balls and say, what team was this?
That's a good one.
I'd be totally perplexed, yes.
They'll be doing a Google search for some of the names. And then they'll go, wow, listen to that beautiful voice of Sissy's. Isn't that just beautiful?
Yes. Well, John Paul, did you want to slip in here with a few minutes of Unmedia? We may not have your regular time span, but I didn't know if there was anything burdening your mind that you wanted to spew forth.
I suggest people Google Michael Hudson.
Who is he?
He wrote. He's a economics professor at the University of Missouri. He really should be Obama's economic advisor. Instead of Robert Rubin, who is a corporate criminal tool, I suggest people read Michael Hudson's article that came out today or yesterday. Google that, and you will find somebody who really understands what's going on.
Presently.
Yes.
And the power grab.
And has a prescription for what to do about it. Although... in the final analysis, it's not all that optimistic, given that things have gone so far. You know, I mean, basically, people should understand that the people that are getting bailed out are the ones who caused the problem. They already have their hundreds of billions of dollars that they have raped the American taxpayer for. They already have it, and they're going to get more.
Oh, I know.
It's already under works.
$250 million this morning, or billion this morning.
And it's going to continue until they completely bankrupt the country.
It's called serfdom, where you just work all the time to pay. They'll let you stay to work.
So now we're seeing a rebound in the market now. I believe this is going to be the last substantial rebound. You're going to see the market climb again, and the next time the shoe drops, it's going to be the greatest depression the world has ever seen.
A momentary fugue before that big
distraction. That's what I think. I mean, I'm not an economist or anything, but just looking at the patterns of what's happened in the past and what is really happening now, which we're not being told by the mainstream media what's really happening. If you really want to make a difference, what you would be doing as a leader is supporting the homeowners so they don't lose their homes. Supporting the working poor, you would cut taxes on everybody who makes less than $25,000 as an individual so that they pay no tax whatsoever. No Social Security, no income tax, no Medicare, Medicaid tax. You would cut all taxes for people who make less than $25,000 as an individual, $50,000 as a couple.
Hardly enough to live on.
Just enough to live on, and you would also... I think one of the things that Obama has done that is right is propose to cut taxes for everybody who makes less than $250,000 a year. And then raise taxes on everybody who makes more than that. All the way up to the extremely wealthy who should really be paying much, much more than anybody else. If you look at what people have to live on, you realize that the people at the bottom are getting screwed. Their disposable income is zero, okay? The disposable income of people who make over $250,000 is unbelievable. The gap between the rich and the poor is greater now than it's ever been at any time in our history. and people should be looking at that, and that's what they should be voting about.
Is that a part of what we learn if we go to the Michael Hudson website?
Well, no. No, okay. I mean, no, you're not...
He's more into the mechanics of the actual financial...
Well, no, he's going to give you a historical lesson as well. Mm-hmm. But and if you go there, if you find the most recent article, you should also try to find some more of what he has said in the past few years.
Okay.
And you should, of course, also be listening to people like Paul Krugman, who just won the Pulitzer Prize for economics.
Actually, it was the...
I mean the Nobel Prize. I'm sorry.
Nobel Prize.
Yeah,
I said Pulitzer. I'm sorry. Pulitzer, but
yeah, he has. He won the Nobel Prize.
Oh, he's in the triple crown of the winning of those things.
Yes, that's pretty impressive.
Mother Teresa.
You know, actually, there's actually another thing with this. You know, it isn't so much individual income tax that we're talking about. No matter how much you get paid, it's actually it's what we don't tax corporations. And of course, what we have now is corporations can very easily and have very easily moved to where they're international, and by being internationally based. But the thing is that if you remember that movie that was out a few years ago called The Corporation, was basically a psychopath, that it exists legally as a person, but without accountability
which actually the funny thing about that is that in 1886 there was the court case that people quote as instituting corporate personhood. The decision in that case did not say that corporations were persons. It did not. It's not in the decision. It's a myth that court case held.
So that the other side of that has been manipulated, essentially.
Well, what happened was the court had a clerk who was an ex-railroad CEO himself, and so hearing a conversation before the decision was read in the courtroom, where somebody asked the chief judge, Judge Waite, if they had decided that corporations were persons, Judge Waite said to him, and this was off the record, that yes, we all believe, at first he said, no, we did not address that issue, but this court believes that corporations are persons. But it wasn't part of the court case. In fact, the railroad, Southern Pacific Railroad, did not even argue that they were a corporate person. Wow. They didn't argue corporate personhood in the case. It wasn't addressed. That's a constitutional issue that the court did not even deal with. What this case was about was taxes. Who had the right to levy taxes among local government entities? It had nothing to do with corporate personhood. Okay. So, and then once that item was entered in the head notes of the case, which, by the way, are not law either, once it was entered in the head notes of the case, lawyers started referring to it. And now, under the doctrine of reliance, they get to prevail under those conditions because it's been relied on so long now that they consider it a part of the law, even though it was never actually...
I love people who go, well, we've done it for so long wrong, it must be right, rather than, oh, it was wrong, let's fix it.
Well, doesn't that encompass the entire Bush doctrine, never wrong about anything?
If you eliminate corporate personhood, you eliminate a huge number of the problems with our country. Corporate personhood is at the root of so many horrible things.
That's the Trojan horse in our midst.
It is. And this is all by way of background. But
keep in mind, next time you look in the mirror, you're looking at a fascist looking back at you. Nothing to do with democracy.
Exactly. I strongly urge people to Google corporate personhood. Learn about it. You will be amazed at what you find out about corporate personhood.
No doubt. And speaking of that will to power, let's go back to Will to Power, the movie.
Well, he just made a comment that I thought, wow, that's sort of like the movie, Trojan Horse. We got a Trojan Horse in here because, Trojan Horse, the concept of it was a lot of people came out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But really the concept of the Trojan Horse was that there was this secret and it was just inside. And we have that in this movie. There are secrets all over this movie. And one of the nice things, and I know there are going to be people that buy the DVD, because once they see it, they're going to go, I got to watch this again because I know there were clues. I remember the clues, and I got to watch it again to see those clues. And we've got some interesting clues interspersed in there. And we also have some very unique things that if you go to IMDb, the International Movie Database, I think some of those things by people that have watched some of the screeners and testing of this have started to put up little trivia questions. So the trivia questions are starting to pop up on our IMDb Will to Power space. So, yeah, it's a twister.
Quick question for Sissy.
Yes.
Do you have an album coming out? Have you been working on one, or do you already have some in circulation?
Yes.
Give us a scoop on that.
I am working with Craig Branwin and Center Sound Records, and we are putting my first record out in the beginning of 2009.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let me know about that.
I will. And I believe that the title of the album is going to be, or the title of the record is going to be Like a Record.
What inspired that title?
It's one of the songs that it's a song about the fact that you're sort of when you get up every day and you sort of do the same things and sometimes you're kind of like, good Lord, something break me out of myself and my own patterns. And it just ends up, it's like my getting up every day trying to write for this record, knowing that it's such a great thing that I'm getting to do, but having a hard time getting it out of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a plea to, if I'm going to do the same thing over and over again, then lay it on the table and play me like a record.
That's good. I like
so,
that.
So, yeah.
Makes me think of a comedy moment during my apprenticeship as a chef. I worked with the higher up. My supervisor was a Frenchman. And whenever he'd hear me whistling the same tune or singing the same song two or three times in a row just because I was trying to get it down, he'd go, hey, Claudio, change disc. Like, flip sides.
Flip sides. That's so funny.
That's the name of my next record. Flip sides.
That's cute.
Right.
Yes.
Well, good. So you'll have to keep us informed. And is there a website they can go to find out about you?
Yes. It's just sissyharrington.com.
Okay.
And so it's Sissy Harrington, HARRINGT.
Well, I definitely would like a copy of the product.
Me
myself.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I really like your voice.
Well, thank you. And
she's cute, too.
And I think we should consider a collaboration at some point.
Well, I would.
When you're an old fart like me, that doesn't make any difference.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I've gotten to work with a lot of really great people who are really encouraging, and it's coming out of me, so I think it's really
good.
Great. Yeah, I'm excited.
You seem to be in movement at present.
I am. I'm engaged, that's for sure.
Good.
Did you get engaged?
No, not engaged. Not
engaged.
Engaged in the project.
Engaged in the moment.
Yes. Sorry.
Definitely
not engaged. Don't want that to be.
Yeah, okay. All right. Not bad.
Thank you. Unless you know something I don't know.
I don't know things I do know.
Join the crowd.
But do you know what you don't know?
I know that.
Or do you not know what you don't know?
I know what I don't know.
There are known unknowns
and
there are unknown unknowns.
Who's on first?
Hello?
Yeah, who's on first?
Yeah.
I think that's where we're tossing the ball, the baseball, that is. This time they're all signed. So anyway, I guess we're heading towards a wrap, aren't we? Or we've still got a few minutes.
We do. And maybe this is a good point to take a moment and really go, you know, with all the bad things going on in the world right now, even though they're pretty much created internally by a lot of people, the one thing that we can count on is the American spirit. Because the one thing this country has always been known to do, no matter what the problem, is we pull up our bootstraps and we do something about it. And I've recently taken the time to reread the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. And, you know, those guys got it. When they formed this country, they knew that there would be a day when we'd all wake up and go, this government no longer works.
When we're facing the very thing we're facing.
We're approaching that. And they didn't put that in there. If they didn't understand man, and they understood what man is and what happens. And if you go back, and sadly today we have so much enriched media coming at us from so many sources, we really don't use that enriched media the way we should, and that is to know our history. It's interesting, but if people knew history, they would not repeat a lot of what we continue to repeat.
I agree.
But we don't. We seem to not pay attention to history.
Right.
And I think it's the most important. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I do with my family three or four times a year is we go to Williamsburg, and I have made sure that my kids understand why our country was really founded. So I'm optimistic in that I know that when all this collapses, there will be a mourning, and the chicken will lay an egg, and someone will want to eat, and someone will need to cook that egg.
Yeah.
And things will continue. And let those other folks be damned.
Yeah, I think we're heading back to the basics, and that's probably a good thing for this country. We've been living in this greed lust for way too long. I mean, I don't even see how
we have.
I don't even see where we're getting this 700 or 700, however many billion it is, from in a country that's so deep in debt.
Here's one of the good things that's going to happen with this project because of the current situation. Just to tell you how the good, the bad, what happens. There are a number of projects that have been shot for like $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million, which are, you know, reasonable budgets, and those projects would go to market and they'd have a cycle of 12 months to 2-3 years, and they would, you know, get a return maybe 300,000-400,000 more than they paid. Because of the current economic situation, there are a number of these folks who are looking at the dollar from overseas and it's not working, and so they're taking these projects and going, we're going to hold them a year. We're not going to release them now. We're going to wait because we're not going to get the money we need now, mm-hmm. which is creating opportunity for folks like me who have made a project that was budgeted around $265,000. That creates an opportunity for me to go to market, have some folks not participating, and get a little bit more exposure.
265.
Yeah, 265.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. Well,
and the look of the thing, it doesn't look like a 265.
No, it's the production value is very high on this.
And it doesn't sound like 265.
No, it's high production value.
Oh, that's excellent.
It really is.
That's incredible.
And so we're getting an opportunity that now other people are squeezed out. And what I'm noticing in this industry, both records and CDs and the movies, is, again, Hollywood owned the distribution industry. It was like a cabal. Well, they no longer control it. You've got these cottage industries open. You've got Center Sound Records. You got the folks here that were in Carrboro that sold out to Disney and probably wish they hadn't. But, I mean, you have a resurgent of locally grown, locally built. I mean, I know people now that are starting to build some wood furniture in the area, but they're only selling it in the area. Mm-hmm. They have no desire to go take it and make a monster company. Back to basics.
And tragically, this whole Hollywood scenario has become such a compiling of stuff and formulaic filming that you've seen before. Everyone I've picked up in the last couple of years has bored me to death.
No formula in my movie.
I think the work ethic and the passion that is evident in this film is really phenomenal. I mean, it really is. It really comes across, I think, really well.
Let's go back to Homegrown.
Yeah, well, in terms of, it's the small budget movies where your actors are really allowed to shine. I mean, the big budget movies now are all special effects and action and what's amazing about acting is that it is ultimately more engaging of who we are as human beings. Mm-hmm. So the smaller movies really work. So this isn't a handheld video that's been turned into it. It was actually done on a film, huh?
Well, we shot it in a high definition video.
So
we shot it in high def.
But that's state of the art these days, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yes.
But that's the thing is that what's amazing about this what we're things particularly in this area, the Carrboro Chapel Hill area, is that there's lots of talent here. To where, if there's a little hiccup in the big system, then we can move to. I'll give you the last word.
Oh, it's not that we're running out of time.
Yeah, we're running. Well, that's okay. We can just run into Paul's show.
That's true. Actually, Paul Nash is the next one coming up. Touchstones, folks. For those of you tuning in, I was just being conscious of us running out of time, and we have to play our exit music. I want to thank this Will to Power cast and crew that I have in the studio here. Thank you, John Demers of Studio in the Woods.
Thank you, John,
for being here. Sissy Harrington, thanks. I love that voice.
Great
music,
Sissy. Thank you so much.
Paul Nash, appreciate you being on.
Thanks, Paul.
Even though Paul thinks that the two of us are two prima donnas going at each other.
And you guys are just perfect.
I thought it was
together.
Great.
And they are.
And my co-host, John Paul. This is Claudio of Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else. Signing off. Until next time, folks. Cheers.
Once again, a chill night wind blows its gales across the sea as the sunset casts an inflamed and rippled hue across the waters. Vast distances of liquid motion stretch their infinity before me, and I have rarely felt so free. The sails are drawn for a night of rest. Where I go from here, the sea knows best. As the veils of night descend upon me, the moon emits its silvery canvas against a spectacle of aquatic celebration, as is only seen by night. The stars are scattered worlds of light against an opaque sky, and the nightfall is a constant whisper of the mysteries around me. Truly, all description would defy the beauty I choose herein to proclaim. Yet still, though encompassed by more wonder than many a man has e'er freed his soul to admire, my thoughts are adrift with the song of my heart, and the song of my heart with the voice of my soul. Adrift, adrift, adrift. Drifting ever back to you.